It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. According to new data from the Labor Department, costs shot up last month for producers of goods and services in the country, and higher prices could soon trickle down to consumers.
The White House's sweeping tariffs on imports are driving up costs for businesses. So how might tariffs affect the dairy and beef industries here in Wisconsin?
In 2024, Wisconsin exported over $3 billion of its agricultural products to overseas markets. That's according to a report from UW-Madison Extension Farm Management.
We'll talk with a cattle farmer in the Driftless region in just a bit. First, we check in on economic headwinds with the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Rudin is an organic dairy farmer in Westby. Darren, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
So you operate this fourth-generation dairy farm in Westby. In terms of exporting our products to the world, Wisconsin farmers sent nearly $600 million in products to dozens of countries in 2024, dairy being a big export for our state. What impact might these tariffs have on Wisconsin dairy farms in particular? What do you anticipate?
Well, certainly, if we do have that issue, it's not going to be good because we're currently coming out of our highest milk production part of the year. And so most inventories at the processing level are maxed out or probably even having to find extra space if that's available. And when you have that scenario, plus these new tariffs coming on, of countries not being able to afford our products in those country, it stays here, which just then adds to that problem of lowering the price that farmers receive for their products.
So in this climate and this uncertainty, will dairy farmers, do you think, hold off on some major equipment purchases like tractors or milking system equipment? Or is now maybe a time to make those capital expenditures, those investments on the farm?
Well, I think, most farmers right now are in a wait and see mode. Those that wanted to do some of that modernization or improvement in technology probably did it in the first few months of the year already. And looking down the road, just because of that increased cost that tariffs are going to have, most farmers are going to probably wait and see what happens over the next year to 2 years before making any of those major decisions. And one of those factors too is a lot of the milking equipment, especially your robots that are in this country are produced in Europe and that region of the world. So there's going to be a tariff on them one way or another, which is going to make them more higher priced.
Turning to workforce, dairy farmers rely on migrant workers for the around-the-clock milking demands. How has the Trump administration's immigration policies to date that you've seen impacting Wisconsin farm operations?
Yeah, so, quite a few different stories there. Certainly seeing those that are the most worried that ICE is going to show up and take their 15, 20 workers in the morning at 5 o'clock when they're just starting their shift. And there just isn't that many employees in any of those areas that are going to be able to show up to do that. We haven't seen anything like that yet. We certainly have heard from farmers that have had an employee or two or three maybe not show up for work one morning because they were afraid of something, or maybe they were detained, not at the farm, but at their residence or someplace in a local community. And right now, farmers are facing the issue of who do we get to replace them? Years past, when an employee was either sick or was done working at a farm, they had always made sure that they had a replacement for themselves. Farmers are not seeing that today because more and more immigrants are just worried about their status and whether or not they're going to be taken away from their families, on a moment's notice and what's going to go on there. So they're trying to be as, safe as they can, but certainly, that threat's there. And, it seems like right now, a lot of the enforcement actions are happening more in the blue states than they are in the red or purple states. And, certainly Wisconsin was somebody that helped President Trump get in the office. So there seems to be some, actions taken in certain parts of the country versus other parts.
So what I'm hearing, though, staffing on the farm is okay for now, but filling those positions in the future could be much more tricky as there is trepidation, you know, for migrant workers to, you know, come in the next batch, if you will.
Yeah, and certainly what we're hearing from some of our friends within the immigrant communities is that their friends, family, and, you know, folks that they know really good are not looking to the U.S. for that workforce market anymore. They're trying to figure out how they can stay employed in their current country or looking at, you know, another country to go to where they're going to have a lot better luck at finding an employment that's not going to jeopardize their livelihood or their safety.
You've been traveling to other parts of the state, hearing from farmers. President Trump's sweeping tariffs, on again, off again, nature of them, it's really caused considerable uncertainty in the U.S. economy. How are Wisconsin farmers doing? What are they telling you?
Well, certainly a little worried, maybe scared some because of that uncertainty that's there, not knowing what their markets are going to be looking like this fall, you know, especially talking to corn and soybean producers. You know, we're looking at a pretty good crop right now. We've had an excellent growing season, so that always puts pressure on the price that farmers receive in the fall of the year. And certainly with that uncertainty, but also with the most likelihood that there's going to be tariffs in place before the fall harvest season starts, most farmers are expecting to be losing money per acre on their farms this year.
Which makes me wonder, how might tariffs lead to overproduction or underproduction issues on the farm?
Yeah, well, you know, that's certainly something that we've been working at here at Wisconsin Farmers Union, especially within the dairy industry, is trying to make sure that we can keep supply and demand in line and not have that big fluctuation of prices that farmers receive. We've got a growth management plan that we would like to see adapted for the dairy industry. There can be ways to make sure that we keep those in line and making sure that we have a decent price paid to farmers. The biggest question is that multinational corporations are kind of controlling those markets and ultimately controlling our government too, which is not allowing us to put in place mechanisms that could be beneficial to the farmers here in the state, but also consumers here in the state.
I'm also wondering about feed costs, which are often the bulk of the cost of producing milk. How are your input costs, like feed for the cows, how are those trending for dairy farmers in light of the levies on imports?
Yeah, certainly, you know, that's going to be one of the positives of the dairy industry this year is because those feed costs have went down. But in the same sense, because of the tariffs, our pay prices are also going down. And so really, you know, the dairy industry is looking at, yes, inputs for feeds are going to be lower, but ultimately we're probably going to be having a higher cost of production because of all the other things that are needed on the farm, especially dairy farms to keep them operating that are coming from overseas or are not produced in this country, and therefore the tariffs are going to make them more expensive.
Talking with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, as we get a glimpse into what farmers are experiencing in the economy now. Darren, you know, one of the goals of President Trump's tariffs is to address non-reciprocal trade relationships that disadvantage American workers. In your experience, how do you see international trade agreements impacting Wisconsin farmers? Can you give an example?
Well, you know, we're probably going to see more of a trickle-down effect than anything in the bigger parts of the state of Wisconsin. But probably one example, Grassland Dairy in central Wisconsin exports a lot of their products to Canada. And as part of the first Trump administration, the tariffs that went on there, over 65 dairy farms got notice that Dairyland will no longer be buying their milk from them because they had lost that Canadian market. And so looking at any potential lost markets going forward, we're certainly probably going to be seeing some of our processors sending out those notices, most likely to the smaller producers, which is, you know, a big frustration of mine because we need to keep those producers in practice and producing milk in order to keep that diversity so we don't become really dependent on one source for our food supply.
Those are the small family farms that have difficulty staying in business.
Yeah, correct. You know, and our farm, we're organic, so we're in one of those niche markets, which has certainly kept our farm viable for the last 20 years now. But eventually, if the conventional market gets to be too low a price, that ultimately affects even the organic farmers and the other niche farmers that are producing their own special milks around the state.
Before we let you go, in recent days, we've seen U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin reintroduce her bipartisan Dairy Pride Act, which wants to crack down on mislabeling non-dairy products that use dairy names. How much of an issue is this in the industry? What are the economic repercussions?
You know, it's been a huge issue, especially when we look at the, you know, the word milk means so much to so many peoples, and especially when you have families with young children, milk has always been seen as one of those things that's an essential piece of every single meal throughout the day. And for that word to be used by non-mammal operations, so the almond industry has probably been one of the bigger ones. And we're starting to see some of that where they're not using milk as much as they used to. So, you know, I think thank you, Senator Baldwin, for continuing that aspect from the dairy farmers around the state of Wisconsin, around the country, because, you know, we need to make sure that we've got truth in labeling. And one thing that, you know, juices are juices. We don't call apple milk. We call it apple juice because plant-derived juices are juices. They're not milks.
Darren, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Kate.
That is Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and an organic dairy farmer in Westby. As we find out how farmers are affected by economic and political forces, we turn now to a farmer in Pierce County. Amy Rodunz grazes about 40 head of cattle in the Driftless region each summer.
We have a lot of land that maybe isn't as suitable for crop production, but well suited for pasture land and for grazing cattle.
Rodunz is president of the Wisconsin Beef Council, and she starts with the record high cattle prices the industry is seeing, which means it's a great time to be in the cattle business. But
it doesn't mean, even though we're at record high cattle prices, that doesn't mean margins still aren't tight. We're making a little bit more money, but there's still a lot of challenges in terms of those input prices are higher, right? With those higher costs, we're not making as much as maybe we would have 5 years ago, right?
When you look at all the way at the end, beef prices are up at the grocery store. Average price of a pound of ground beef hit a record $6.25 in July. So if people continue to buy beef at higher rates and at these prices, does that mean the beef industry is doing well, or what's driving this?
No doubt consumer demand of beef has been excellent. Honestly, I think a lot of us are pleasantly surprised that even though those prices are high for our consumers, they're still choosing beef, right? I think we produce a great product and people enjoy it, which is great. But what's really driving it is that we're in the part of what we call the cattle cycle. We're at our lowest numbers. So there's just less cattle. So that's creating, that's what's driving up the price of those cattle more than anything, is there's less cattle out there for us in the U.S. So
is that because of drought? Is that because what is causing those tight numbers?
So a lot of cases, what drives it across the U.S. is we will have periods of drought in key cattle areas. So there has been some drought that has driven to that. I think some other contributing factors, especially in the smaller farms that we see, a lot of what I'm hearing is those older farmers are leaving the business and there's not another generation to take that over or wants to take it over. So I think we have some challenges moving forward on who is going to raise cattle in the U.S. as well. That's not, it's slowly, right, that is going in that direction. So I think those are some other challenges we face as well.
When you look at the larger economic climate, Wisconsin exporting over $3 billion in egg products in 2024, what impacts are tariffs having on the beef industry?
Right now, we're not seeing a big impact. Probably the biggest one is because of those trade disputes, we're currently not shipping any product to China, which the Southeast Asia is our biggest market for US beef. So especially the higher value stuff, right? So that's a really important market to us. And so we're watching very closely those tariff discussions.
Also, with an eye on Brazil, which has been such a dominant force in the global beef industry, many of Brazil exports are now subject to a 50% U.S. tariff. Will that impact at all the industry here in Wisconsin?
It could potentially, because while we produce more beef in the US than what we domestically consume, we export a lot of high value products, right? We produce a high quality product with a lot of fat, and we need to import lean beef, like such as what Brazil would make, or other countries like Australia, to make hamburger, essentially, right? Even those tariffs on the imports can have an impact because that will impact things, particularly like hamburger price, and those things can affect consumer demand as well, right? So it does have an impact.
So taking this down to the Amy Rodun's scale, if you will, and following your chain, where do your cattle go after they're done grazing on your pasture land? What are your steps there?
Typically, they're going to get sold to a feedlot and then be put on a high grain ration and get finished. Because they spend a little time on grass, that's a little shorter period. And then, so that'll be their next step before they then go and get processed right into meat.
You talk to so many other cattle producers. Is there a sense of security in beef farming these days, or are these tense moments for the economic future of the industry? How does it feel?
I think there's definitely concern about risk. And if you have somebody young trying to grow a cow herd and trying to raise the capital at these prices to grow their herd, that's extremely challenging, right? And so those, I think, are areas where I hear a lot of concern. On the feedlot side as well, those high prices, and honestly, right now, the risk management tools we have are probably not adequate that are available to us either, are not necessarily covering that either. And so I think those are challenges and concerns, right, that I do hear about and that we're worried about, because we can deal with that as long as we have those risk management tools available to us to be able to lock in a break even and make sure we don't take a loss, right?
Yeah. I wonder though, when you're standing out there in the pasture in the driftless and looking out at your cattle grazing peacefully, whether all of those risks kind of melt away. What do you love about raising cattle in the driftless?
I think probably the most satisfying thing for me, especially in the summer, is I get to see how they change and grow. And I think that's a lot of fun to see that progress.
Amy, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
That is the 2025 Cattleman of the Year, Amy Rodunz, president of the Wisconsin Beef Council. Earlier, we heard from Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden, who is part of a fourth-generation organic dairy farm in Westby. We talked about the potential economic impacts on dairy and beef farmers with the White House's tariff policies and how family farms are managing in these times.